Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Welcome to today's teaching. We are still in the Gospel of Matthew. Today we are in chapter 16. Moving right along here. What is the gist of Matthew chapter 16? We will find out in this chapter that Jesus' secret motive is about to be unveiled, i.e. he will begin to talk openly to his disciples about his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 1, Matthew 16. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Apparently, these Pharisees are getting frustrated with the Lord Jesus. They want a physical sign to confirm or affirm that Jesus is truly the Messiah. But as we will soon find out, they had already made up their minds not to accept Jesus as the Messiah. So it was just a useless request. And the Lord Jesus, being the wisest person who ever lived, knew it. And he would really respond to them in a way that is, again, exposing their hypocrisy. So let me read the Lord Jesus' response to them. Then I will offer a few commentaries. So, verse 2, the Lord replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning..." That is verse 3 there. "Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast." You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. Verse 4. "A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. Powerful. So the Lord Jesus is like, you people could interpret the physical signs. You people could interpret the signs of the weather. You are able to be smart enough to understand the climate and the weather changes. Yet, you cannot understand, you cannot receive, you cannot believe that I am who I am. Essentially, the Lord Jesus is pointing out to their spiritual dullness and darkness. Okay? The Lord Jesus said, "The only sign I'm going to give them is that of Jonah." And we discussed this already in chapter 12. Remember the sign of Jonah that the Lord discussed before? Meaning that in the same way Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, he too will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days, referring to his death, burial, and resurrection. Here we see the Lord Jesus telling the Pharisees again that that is the sign that I am the Messiah, because I will be dead, buried, and be resurrected. Something that had been prophesied that the Messiah would accomplish. Okay? So that was the Lord Jesus' response to the Pharisees who were so spiritually dull. Verse 5. "When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread." Verse 6. "Be careful." This is the Lord Jesus saying now. "Jesus said to them, 'Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees.'" Right away, we see how, because the disciples forgot to bring some bread with them, the Lord Jesus is going to start to teach them about the Pharisees and Sadducees using the word yeast, and the disciples will misunderstand the Lord Jesus, thinking that he is teaching them about bread. So let us continue. Verse 7. "They," referring to the disciples, "discussed these among themselves and said, 'It is because we didn't bring any bread.'" Verse 8. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Verse 10, or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Verse 11, how is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread, but be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Verse 12, then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Let me pause. What is going on? The disciples were spiritually insensitive. They did not have the spiritual discernment about what the Lord was teaching. So the Lord had to rebuke them in a gentle, loving manner, reminding them of the previous miracles, feeding the 5,000. And the Lord is like, did you forget that already? Don't you quite get it that my teachings have spiritual implications? Are you still looking at things in the physical? Okay, that is what is going on here. Just like today, the Lord is really saying the same message to us. When we study the Word of God, do we take the time to ponder and meditate on the true spiritual meaning of what the Lord is trying to teach us? Or do we just casually approach the Word of God and just want a surface meaning? You see, we have to take time to reflect and ponder on the spiritual insight that the Lord is teaching. So here we see the Lord talking about the yeast of the Pharisees. Let's talk about this. Now, remember I mentioned this earlier. Yeast is a tiny ingredient, but it has a way to work itself through the dough and it rises. So the Lord is using this analogy, if you will, to explain to the disciples that be careful of the Pharisees' teaching. The yeast, being a very tiny ingredient, has potential power to cause the bread to rise. Likewise, even though the Pharisees may be teaching a little bit of error, but that little error has great potential to damage you spiritually. Did you get that? Let me put it this way. I was explaining this to my niece, who is 16 years old. I was explaining to her about Pharisee, or rather about heresy, okay? I was explaining to her about heresies, meaning incorrect teaching of the Word of God. I was telling her that a lot of times with the false teaching and false teachers, all they do is take a little bit and twist it incorrectly. 99% of the teaching could be correct, but there's just 1% that is wrong. But unfortunately, that 1% that is wrong is what has the potential to damage somebody's life entirely. That incorrect 1% has the potential to send someone to hell. We have a classic example here. Like the Jehovah Witnesses, they call upon Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but they refuse his claim as God or his deity as God. So to them, Jesus was just a man, not God in the flesh. That is heresy. It is such a tiny error like that can lead someone to hell, that can lead someone astray. Likewise, a yeast is a tiny, tiny ingredient, but it has the potential for great damage. Practically in our lives, we have to be careful who we listen to, because all a false teacher has to do is lead us astray in less than 1% of his or her teaching, and that could lead us into major spiritual bankruptcy. It can lead us into major spiritual problems and just mess up people's lives. So that is the principle there that I had to really, really explain. So we have to evaluate those we listen to, make sure that they are teaching correctly 100%. Okay? Nobody is perfect. I am not saying that a teacher cannot make an error, but the key is that when we make errors in teaching, we have to humbly correct that so that people are not led astray. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Ruth here. Thank you for joining me today. I would like to share with you our ministry offer that is available to you as a donation to this ministry throughout my teachings out of the Gospels. So, I have two resources that I know will bless you tremendously, because these two books have blessed hundreds of people. So, the two books all have to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So, the first one is titled, Who is the Real Jesus? And the second one is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? So, for a ministry donation of $50 or more, this includes shipping and handling. If you live here in the USA, we will mail these two books to you today. Okay, it will provide added clarity, added teaching about the Gospels, the ministry of Jesus, the work of Christ. These are phenomenal resources that would add into the teaching here I'm doing in the Gospels and help you to really have a deeper revelation and walk with the Lord. So again, this comes to us as a donation, and we thank you in advance for considering that. Again, the books are Who is the Real Jesus? And the other one is Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? For a ministry donation of $50 or more if you live in the USA. But if you cannot afford both books and you just want one, it's okay too. We thank you for your donation. So, Who is the Real Jesus? For a donation of $25 or more, including shipping and handling. And then the other book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? Would be $35, including shipping and handling. We will mail these books to you today. The advantage of getting both books is that you would save $10, okay? So again, this ministry offer is only available for those who live within the USA, because we cannot ship overseas. But if you live overseas and you're listening to me, you can get these books from Amazon. So here is how you can donate through us directly to get this book as a ministry offer. Our safe and secure website is drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And then if you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here's the telephone number for Zelle. 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. And then we also accept donations through Cash App. And the name there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Or if you just want to bless us with a one-time donation to help us produce more teachings like this and pay for studio time, we thank you abundantly from the bottom of our hearts. And God says thank you. And God is so faithful that He will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. So I want to thank you in advance for purchasing this additional ministry resources to help you to gain a better revelation of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you. Here is the teaching. Okay, we come to verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Very important question. Bible scholars tell us that this area here, this Caesarea Philippi, was an area under the rule of Herod's half-brother Philip. and it was an area with a lot of pagan worship, paganism. So we see the Lord really carrying out his ministry to the region of pagans. Again, just his desire to reach everybody, even though his primary calling was to the Jews. But going back to this question that the Lord asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Let's proceed. Verse 14, they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Let me pause here. This question, who do people say the Son of Man is the most important question in the entire Bible. It is the most important question in the earth, on the earth, however you want to say it. It's the most important question that each individual, believer and or unbeliever alike, must ask themselves, answer that question personally, have a firm conviction about the answer, because it is going to make a difference between spending eternity in the presence of God or away from God. So this question cannot be taken lightly. So I pose this same question to you. Who do you say the Son of Man is? Think about that. And it's interesting how the disciples answered in verse 14. They just really, Bible scholars believe that the disciples answered this way because God had prophesied through Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15 that he would send a prophet among them. So the disciples just assumed the common view that the Lord Jesus was just another prophet. And then in verse 15, the Lord Jesus makes it personal, and he is making it personal right now, just like I had just asked you. The Lord Jesus asked them, but what about you? He asked, what do you say I am? You see, God is not so much concerned about what others say about who he is. He is concerned really about you. What do you believe about the Lord Jesus? Personally first. Okay, remember, we have a personal relationship with God through Christ. It is personal first. Then, of course, we extend that to others and our communities. So, God is concerned about your heart. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. I think that is self-explanatory, but let me just explain this. The Lord Jesus is saying that this revelation that you just uttered came from God. This is not human reasoning. Okay? Verse 18, the Lord continued, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Let's pause. On this rock, you got to put this in perspective. Was Peter a physical rock? No. Remember, Peter had just confessed Christ Jesus as the Messiah. So putting this in perspective, putting this in its correct context, the Lord Jesus is saying, on this utterance, on this revelation, on this rock of revelation as the Messiah, I will build my church, i.e. the body of Christ, a body of true followers, and the gates of Hades, i.e. the gates of hell, will not overcome it. And in verse 19, he continued, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Verse 29, then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Now, this is a very popular scriptural passage, this binding and loosing, and boy, there are many views and application that I have heard and read about this. So I am going to just go discuss a couple of the popular views or application of this. Verse 19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom on heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, keep in mind, Peter had just confessed Jesus Christ as the Christ. The Lord had just said he will build his church, okay, on that revelation, the rock. And the keys of the kingdom of heaven will be given to Peter. Some people have said that this is implying to the fact that the Apostle Peter will be the first leader of the church, the first leader who will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he would be the first leader that would preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And this actually, this view, I agree with this view, this actually came to pass. And we know that in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter, after the ascension of Jesus Christ, preached the gospel, and 3,000 people came to Christ. And then also, we know that the Apostle Peter, in Acts chapter 10, preached the gospel to the first Gentile, as discussed in the Bible, Acts chapter 10, a Roman soldier called Cornelius, and him and his household received Christ. So this has led some Bible scholars and commentators to say that these keys of the kingdom of heaven here is giving Peter, the Apostle Peter, access and authority to proclaim the gospel as the first person to the Jews and the Gentiles. And I have no problems with that. Okay, so others are saying that these keys of the kingdom of heaven has to do with the believer's authority, our personal authority as Christians. I also agree that because the living God indwells us, the Lord Jesus has given us authority in his name and the power in his name to overcome evil, to overcome darkness. So we have the keys to the kingdom of heaven because the kingdom of heaven lives on the inside of us. So I also agree that this has to do with the believer's authority. And it says that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So whatever a believer utters or believes in the name of Jesus, God honors that in heaven. So I agree with these various applications. But the bottom line is that as Christians, we have the keys of the kingdom of heaven on the inside of us. Even though the Apostle Paul was the first one to preach the gospel in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 people accepted Christ, and he also proclaimed the gospel in Acts chapter 10, and the Gentiles came into a relationship with God through Christ, we also, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have the living God on the inside of us, and we have access, we have the keys of the kingdom of heaven to get out there and preach the gospel, to get out there and to overcome darkness, and whatever in faith we bind on earth, such as wickedness, evil spirits, God honors that in heaven. And whatever we lose on earth, such as the healing power of God into people's lives, okay, the power of forgiveness, whatever we lose on earth, God accepts that in heaven. So no matter how people try to break this down, I believe that it's, at the end of the day, it's about the believer's authority. Okay, so then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone about the revelation that he is the Christ. Now, the primary reason here is because Jesus' disciples needed to get a better understanding of Jesus' mission as the Messiah, and the disciples had to obtain a better understanding of their distinctive roles as disciples who would later spread the gospel upon the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. So the Lord still needed time to disciple them. The Lord still needed time to teach them. So he did not want them to go around and start to tell everybody that he is the Messiah. So those were the two primary reasons there. Glory to God. Jesus is Lord. Friend, are you being blessed yet? I'm trusting God you have been blessed and encouraged by his word, because the word of God never returns void. So friend, as you are being blessed, would you please send me an email to just let me know how these teachings are blessing you, encouraging you, and transforming your lives? Here is our email address, info@drruthtani.org. Again, that is info, I-N-F-O, at drruthtani.org. And I personally read all the emails sent to me. So I look forward to hearing from you how these teachings are blessing you. It will really encourage me and my staff here at the ministry to know that the Lord is using this to transform your lives. And also check us out on Facebook and on YouTube, Dr. Ruth Tani Ministries, and I have other teachings there. And also sign up for my e-newsletters. Just visit our website, drruthtani.org. Just scroll down. You will see a box that says subscribe to our email list. Just enter the best email address there. You will be subscribed. And we do send out e-newsletters once, sometimes twice a month. And in those newsletters, we have Bible teachings as well. So there are many ways that you can receive Bible teachings from us. So please stay connected with us and continue to listen to these podcast teachings and grow in God's word.